We experience happiness and distress. And it's related to our false identification with this material body. And also, we experience happiness and distress only when we forget Krishna. In forgetfulness of Krishna, we will experience happiness and distress. It's just like in a dream at night when you're sleeping, because you forgot who you are, you're in dreamland, then you experience sometimes a happy dream and sometimes a nightmare. But both of them don't exist. When you wake up, they don't mean anything anymore. I remember one time I had a dream where I got a lot of money in my dream, you know, I found gold. And I was very happy, you know, like, wow. And when I woke up, well, the money didn't come with me, you know. It stayed in the dream. So if you're happy in a dream, it has no meaning. If you're, sometimes you have a nightmare or a bad dream and you wake up and you're happy because it was just a dream, right? Nothing happened for real. Like one time I was dreaming that I was eating meat. Like somebody was cooking me meat and I was eating. And I thought, hey, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to eat meat. I'm a devotee, how come am I eating meat? I was like, I couldn't figure that one out, you know. And when I woke up, I said, oh, I didn't eat meat. It was just a dream. So, no karma for dreams. So, anyway, we're sleeping. And we also have daydreams. We have also when we're awake, if we're not Krishna conscious, we're also in a dream. So the happiness that we feel during daytime and the distress we feel during daytime also like in a dream. They have no reality. So we're in a dream when we forget Krishna. That's what it means. So an advanced devotee is awakened. So he does not identify with a dream, with the material body. We identify with his spiritual nature. So a devotee is always satisfied because sometimes we're in a situation where we are dissatisfied. We don't have what we need. We don't like what we're getting. There's some distress condition and we become dissatisfied. But a devotee remembers that every situation we're put in is the arrangement of Krishna for him. So if he's suffering, he thinks Krishna wants me to suffer for whatever reason. He wants me to suffer right now. It's good for me, maybe. So, okay, I accept it. I'm satisfied with it. It's all right. Because a bhakti yogi or any kind of yogi, he always remember, not all kind of yogi, but a bhakti yogi always remember Krishna in all condition. Whether he's happy, he remembers Krishna. When he's distressed, he remembers Krishna. His business is to always remember Krishna. Like that. So it's an advanced stage, a very advanced stage. And Krishna says it's rarely achieved. To be like that, to be always satisfied, to be free from happiness and distress, to be always tolerant, to be always friendly to all living entities, to be non-envious. All these things are very hard to achieve. But these things please Krishna. And Krishna is pleased by these devotional qualities. So Krishna has a high standard to come intimately in Krishna's association. It means we have to develop a high standard of devotional service. That's the end result, that's the end goal. So we can just imagine how extraordinarily qualified Krishna is and all the pure devotee that lives with him, how exalted they are, and how insignificant we are trying to get there little by little. But Krishna says, that by following the path of devotional service, the regulative principle of devotional service, we will get there one day, sooner or later. Now, One impetus is to become intimate with Krishna, to become a lover of Krishna. That's an impetus for developing these qualities. Krishna says, if you do this, you'll be dear to me. They always end up the verse by, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. He's very dear to me. And then the other qualities, he always says, he's very dear to me, he's very dear to me, like that, right? So all these qualities, he's very dear to me. If we don't have these qualities, but we're a devotee, we're also dear to Krishna, but we can become more dear by developing advanced devotional qualities. Now, the other impetus to develop advanced devotional qualities is that if we do not develop them, what happens? If we don't have this advanced quality, what happens? Well, Prabhupada said that a devotee, because he's fixed in knowledge, he's always calm, quiet, and peaceful, and patient. Calm, quiet, and patient. Even if there's many distressful condition, he's always calm, quiet, and patient. Now, if you're not calm, quiet, and patient, what's going to happen? Well, you're going to react. You're going to become entangled in the circumstances of that are distressful. You're going to interact with them and get into more trouble. I'll give you an example. There is a football match, and after the football match, the different party, the one who lost and the one who won, the fans, they go to the same bar, because sometimes they go to a bar to celebrate the game. So they go to the same bar, and you're a Sankirtan devotee, and you're selling books, and you enter the bar. Now, you know that there's going to be some trouble there because they're drinking, some party is dissatisfied, the other party is like taking advantage of it. It's a troublesome situation. So you're expecting trouble. And you don't want to get in between people, right? So you may just want to leave. You may say, oh, I don't want to take part. This is too dangerous. So you leave because your mind is calm. You know what's going to happen because you're a devotee. You know this is a dangerous situation. The people who are not devotees, they're right in the middle of it. And all of a sudden, somebody's going to say something, and another guy's going to pull out a gun or something and kill him. It happens. And now his whole life is going to be ruined because he's not calm, not peaceful person. So, to be calm, quiet, and peaceful is also advanced. It's among the mode of goodness. And if we're not in the mode of goodness, when we meet situations that are difficult in our own life, then we won't act in a sober way. We'll act rashly, or we'll act passionately, or we'll act vengefully, or in so many different ways we can act. But the result of acting under these qualities won't be the same as if you were sober, calm, and patient. If you're calm, you can figure out the solution to most problems. If you're not calm, you're going to create problem for yourself. So, when we meet a situation where there is uncertainty about ourselves and our future, maybe monetary insecurity, or there is our ego is challenged, or we do not see how we're going to successfully solve a problem. It creates great anxiety, and if we're not advanced devotionally and we're not surrendered to Krishna enough, we may choose to act in the wrong way. We may choose to run away from the problem. We may choose to cover up the problem by intoxication or some sense gratification. Temporarily, we think we'll be saved from this distress. Or we may act in a harmful way to ourselves or to others in anger, and then we are at the bottom again. We're at the bottom, and we lost some ground in Krishna consciousness. So, on the other hand, and when we meet a difficult situation, and we see and we understand that this difficult situation is arranged by Krishna. It does not happen simply by chance. It is arranged by Krishna because I'm a devotee. That difficult situation is arranged by Krishna, and Krishna wants me to learn something from it, and is examining my behavior and my level of surrender unto Him. And if we surrender to Him, meaning surrender means that we always seek that Krishna is always our protector, and Krishna is our maintainer. Krishna will always protect us, and He will always maintain us. That He promises in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Arjuna, declare it boldly to everyone that my devotee will never perish. Okay, so we got that. Krishna says that my devotee will never perish. All right. We'll accept that, and we'll try to live it. So when a difficult situation comes and we don't find any solution, what do? We tell Krishna, Krishna, you said you're my only protector. So you can protect me or you can kill me, whatever happens. I'm going to remember you. I'm not going to behave badly. I'm not going to run away from the problem. I'm not going to cover myself by watching a movie or taking drugs or whatever. I'm going to be sober, be a devotee, and go through the problem. And we stick to our word. Then we will see that Krishna will come true. Krishna will be there because Krishna will reciprocate with our surrender. So to surrender to Krishna is difficult because we're conditioned soul. We're used to not depend fully on Krishna because we think maybe Krishna won't help me, or maybe He's not able to help me, maybe He doesn't care or whatever. But that's our conditioned state of mind. It is not like that. This is what our conditioned mind thinks. We should correct our conditional mind by reading Bhagavad Gita and understanding what Krishna says. Bagavad Gita. He'll say He will protect us. If we don't believe it, then whose problem is it? It's our problem, right? So, nevertheless, let's say we do not have complete faith yet in Krishna, and sometimes we fail to follow the injunction of Krishna, still, it is not totally bad, because we're practitioner, we are endeavoring to realize Krishna consciousness. We may not be fully realized yet. So sometimes we may fail a test, or we may not act appropriately, but we may become bewildered, not know what to do. So even if we become bewildered, even if we don't act improperly, still we can still remain a devotee and still endeavor more. We still can accept Krishna's concession. He said, Apised Sudaracharyo, Apised Sudaracharyo, Bhajate Mahamananda Bhak, that even if one commits the most abominable offenses, if he's situated in my devotional service, I consider him saintly. And very quickly he'll become to the right standard. So even if we have material desire, or even if we are not expert in executing devotional life, even if sometimes we're not totally faithful to Krishna, in other words, even if we're a neophyte, Krishna still encourages us. He says, go on with your devotional life. Okay, I understand you're not perfect, but it doesn't mean that you have to give it up. No, you just keep on going. And then gradually, you'll have some realization. The realization will come with your endeavor and your practice. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to... thank you, Prabhu. I want you to endeavor like that. Because in Krishna consciousness, failure is the pillar of success. If you make one mistake, you can learn from the mistake. And next time, when the same situation comes around, you don't want to make the same mistake. You want to do better. So, and then if you do better and you successfully transform yourself and become a more advanced devotee, then you can pass many tests that you were not passing before. In other words, what is not possible right now might be possible later in devotional service. Because devotional service is powerful. It is the most powerful science. No, it's not that we should endeavor for failures. We should try not to fail at all, at any time. That is better. But even if we are not successful, still we go on in devotional life. So, if we become dear to Krishna, automatically we'll become, our life will become sublime. We'll be able to save ourselves from so many problems that people have today, not knowing Krishna. So, devotional service is a wonderful science that we can all try to realize. And whatever we realize is great asset for us. Okay, so we can stop here. Any questions? Comments? Is what? Yeah, Krishna doesn't want us to suffer. He wants us to be happy. But sometime, let's say you have like a fever, then your mother wants you to starve all day because you have a fever. Like that. The material suffering is meant to correct us from some disease, the disease of material existence. So it is Krishna's kindness that sometime we're suffering. Because, not that you want us to suffer, but sometimes it might be necessary for us to have some realization about something. And a little bit like in the hospital, one patient will be given a full big meal, and another patient won't give him nothing to eat. So you may say, why did he do this, you know? It's unfair. But the person who gets a big meal, he needs energy to recuperate from a disease, while the other person who is starved, he may have a disease, and giving him food will increase his disease. So sometimes we see there's starvation in the world, or there's scarcity in the world, and people blame God. They blame God. But it might be beneficial for them to be a little, have a little scarcity because they overindulgent in sense gratification. They're overindulgent. And because they're overindulgent, they suffer more. And by taking a little bit of things away from them, they can actually get better. You know? Sometimes we eat too much and we jump over a meal. You eat too much the night before and you don't want to eat breakfast, right? If you eat breakfast, then you get sick. So sometimes it's good to starve a little bit. Okay, we'll stop here. All glory to Prabhupada.